This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode number 386 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
Oh, hey. Yeah, so we were kind of talking a little bit before pre-show, but it's been 2 weeks because I was gone Wednesday through Sunday to Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend, but I just did independent stuff. And so I did not watch much of anything that week. And since being back, I have not watched a ton of stuff other than I did watch a lot of movies.
Hmm. Interesting.
I was
hoping, not surprising for you.
Yeah. I was hoping at some point you were going to message me and say, hey, we're on Resident Alien Season 3. But you didn't.
So, funny story about that. So Season 1 had 10 episodes. So Season 2... we got up to episode 8, and I'm like, we got 2 episodes left, and then we could jump right into season 3. And I had forgotten that season 2 has 16 episodes.
Yes, it does.
So we crested 9, and then we hit 10, and I'm like, they haven't done the reveal yet that Goliath is Harry. I'm like, this seems weird. And then it was like, play next episode, and I'm like, what? And I looked down through, and I'm like, God damn it. So as of dinner tonight, we have finished episode 14. So we have 2. I, too, was looking forward to messaging you and saying, hey, we're on season 3 and get moving. Yep. But unfortunately, that was not meant to be. Now I have to go and get my pills.
Yeah, I as far as the TV show side of things, I mean, I really haven't watched much of anything.
Did you watch Invincible?
I did not, actually.
Oh.
I did not. Yeah.
Because last week you were like, oh, that's right, I got to watch that.
And there's only the 4 episodes, correct? And you've watched all 4?
What's that?
There was only 4 episodes, correct? And you've watched all 4 of them?
Yeah. Yep.
Sometimes I just have to be in the mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I fell behind a little bit on Shogun. So I got to finish that. I'm an episode behind there, but it's been good still. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I know it's not your cup of tea, but I'm really enjoying the story and where it's going. And I think I'm only behind 1 at this point.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. So I think it's definitely a well done update from the original miniseries. Like, there's a lot of people that like, you know, like it, the original miniseries
is Tim Curry. Good.
Tim Curry's amazing as Pennywise, but I really like the new It Chapter 1 better than the original It miniseries. But you have some people like, no, nothing be better than that, and that's cool. Shogun kind of the same way. Like, there's some people that love the original miniseries, have watched it time and time again. But I really think this is they've done a tremendous job, you know, updating the story so it's actually more accurate as far as names or whatnot, and telling the story without changing major plot issues, really.
Hmm. Just kind of so updating the graphics, as it were.
Well, yeah, but also, like, they talked about, because I've been listening to the companion podcast as well. After each episode, there's a companion podcast that they're doing. And, you know, it's like, you know, in the book, like, the guy did a lot of research and everything, but there's more availability of information now than there was in the 70s, you know, with the internet and all. So, like, some of the names of the characters he created weren't traditional names for that time period or weren't accurate names for that time period. So, well, it's work, of course. So they've updated the names with that. Hold on one second. The updates they're doing are like making it more, using more specific period or names and things of that nature. So they're minor adjustments, but it makes it more true to the time frame.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the Connors still great. I haven't watched much Twilight Zone because I was away, and since I've been back, I mean, I'm on season four, which is the hour long episodes. I'm halfway through. It's rough actually, and no wonder I've never really seen these on reruns. They're not great stories. Well, they could be. They're just watered down so much because it's like I said previously, it's like they had a 25 minute script that they pushed to a 50 minute script just to fill the time. Otherwise, I've been watching this season of Dark Side of the Ring, the wrestling related show on Vice. And it's really been fantastic. I mean, the episodes they've had, like on John Tenta, aka Earthquake, I mean, the guy was younger than myself when he passed away. I'm 44, almost 45, and he was like 42, but he looked 60. And, you know, the Brutus Beefcake one was, it was just okay. But otherwise, the rest have been great, especially this guy named Charlie Colt, who I had heard of but didn't know really much about because he was just kind of when he wrestled and the region he wrestled in. But holy cow, that guy was a wild man. But yeah, this has actually been another really great season of the show.
Nice.
What you got going on TV land wise?
So I'm still going on X-Men 97. I know you're not a cartoon guy, but the fifth episode was amazing and tragic. And that the next two or three days, my TikTok was pretty much nothing but people responding to and reacting to that episode. So they're doing a good job with basically they're bringing a lot of the older stories into the modern day. They're catching up on some of the plot lines. They're doing it very quickly, which I could take or leave, but this is definitely a more grown up X-Men than anything before. You know, this dealt with Magneto and Rogue and Gambit and the love triangle and the annihilation by a sentinel kaiju essentially of a lot of Genosha. It's good. I'm really enjoying the show.
Nice.
While we've been packing over the past couple of weeks, sometimes you just want to have something on the background, so we've done our third rewatch now of Hazbin Hotel, and we've been watching some of VisiPop's other stuff. Hell of a Boss on YouTube. Hazbin is on Amazon, but her other stuff is just on her YouTube channel. And show gets better every time I watch it. Pick up more stuff. I picked up a number of different things this watch through, so still love it. Still don't think you'd like it, but
thanks.
It's animated. You know, it's got a very religious bent to it. So Ghosts, you're still not watching, but it's been great. It just came back from a minor hiatus and had a cool episode. Not really spoilers, but we got to meet our first poltergeist, which in this Ooh. World, a poltergeist is attached to a person rather than a place. So that's an interesting concept. We're still going on Person of Interest. We're like halfway through season one because we only watch it when we both go to the gym. And I didn't realize that they introduced Root so early on. It was like episode 10 or 11.
Yeah, in the first season.
Yep. And just a shadowy character. afterwards, we were driving and Julie's like, this was cool. And I was like, yeah, I didn't realize that they introduced Root so soon. She goes, I am going to take that for exactly what it is. And I was like, yep. Yep, there's more to that. It wasn't even the full actress. It was just, you know, a shadowy character. Extraordinary, still a lot of fun. We're about three quarters of the way through season two. That's just when we pick it up when we feel like it. little half hour episodes. The only other one that I've watched, and I watched all five episodes, and you and I need to talk about this seriously, is Quiet on Set.
I have not watched the fifth episode because Kate is gone.
Okay.
So we haven't watched the most, but we watched the first four.
Okay.
So I can talk about the first four.
So before we left, you know, 2 weeks ago when we were recording, your statement to me was, yeah, there was one guy who was a really bad guy who, you know, molested someone. Other than that, these people just had a shitty boss.
Well, I mean, no, that I said there was one, there was three sex offender or three perpetrators there were three on the show. Yep. Yes. Yeah, but only one actually got his hands on one of them.
Correct.
The other two were, yeah, but
tried. They tried their best.
Yes, yes.
And, the other and they two had did. Previous I'll admit convictions. That. Yeah, and they had correct. Previous convictions.
But the majority of it is they just had a really shitty, inappropriate boss.
So I think that that is really downplaying everything about him. I think that that's really simplifying it because, you know, when you said that, I was like, okay, I'm going to be interested to see how this shakes out. And in like the first episode, maybe episode and a half, they were talking about mostly Nickelodeon itself. And then yeah. they started talking about Dan Schneider and bringing him into it. But the things that I saw in these episodes, now, I'm not sure if you were just sold a bill where you thought that you were going to see nothing but child molestation going on. But the things that we were seeing for the adults, you know, behind yeah. the scenes, you know, some of the things that he was asking the women to do, like first off, split a salary. You know, two women working for yeah, one salary. No.
Right.
Or that's a great story. Why don't you bend over the table and pretend you're being sodomized while you're telling me that story? And then making her act that out. When it came to the kids, every picture in there was really inappropriate. It was, you know, him hugging them with his arms around them, holding them up in the air. The skits that they were putting on, the facial shots, Ariana Grande getting super soakered in a bikini, having her like put oranges in her bikini top and hang it on the side of a bed, or, you know, grabbing a sweet potato and like stroking it and trying to squeeze water out of it. There was a sweet potato.
No, it was, yeah, it was a potato. It was a potato. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not yeah. cucumber. It was a potato. Yeah, potato juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, yes, I don't disagree with any of that.
So, the stuff that he did, even if it wasn't like molestation, and even if it wasn't, you know, the actual acts of a sexual predator, like the Josh Peck stuff, sorry, not Josh Peck, Brian Peck. Josh was the yeah. co-star. The Brian Peck stuff was absolutely horrible. And seeing the court documents, you know, Drake never actually yeah. goes into the specifics, but you could see in the court documents.
Yes.
The fact yes. that the guy only got 18 months and then got to work with Disney on The Suite yeah. Life and other yeah, kids shows.
Terrible.
Fucking mind-blowing. But the other thing that I think kind of tied it together that I didn't get from your synopsis was Dan Schneider ruled the whole world here. And the fact that all of this happened, like they were building up, showing what Dan Schneider had done to kind of create this toxic work environment that was a frat house, that was, you know, dangerous for people. And the fact that this happened, you know, that these things happened, I blame on his leadership. I blame on his inability to regulate the set and his tolerance of fucking sex practices. You know, it look at his jokes, look at the way that he was treating the women, treating the other men, treating people of color. Like he wasn't just a shitty boss, he was a fucking asshole.
Well, so I was vague because I didn't want to give away anything in my explanation to you.
Okay.
So That's why I didn't deep dive it at all. I was just saying, like, for me, when I watched all the trailers for it leading up to it, it was leading me to believe that there was rampant molestation, pedophilia, labor, whatever. Like, there was all, like, you know, and you're going to hate watching all of these shows that you grew up loving because you're going to know how horrible and terrible everything was, and on and on and on and on and on. And I think that was all overplayed tremendously in the trailer. Instead, we get the special. Yes, terrible things happen. I'm not saying they didn't. There's but I didn't want to deep dive it as much as it was like, he's just a really shitty boss who created a horrible work environment for adults and kids alike. So that was my high level kind of comment about it.
Okay.
And everything you've said, everything you've just said fulfills my, he was a really shitty boss to kids and adults alike. I just didn't deep dive everything because you hadn't seen it and I wanted you to watch it.
Okay.
It was the trailer was selling. Yeah. The trailer was saying this. And what everything they're talking about in the trailer is like 30% of what you actually see, as opposed to the majority, which is not, like, I think the trailer was very misleading as to what you were going to see.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, I thought that you were like, he was a bad guy, but whatever. Like I didn't realize that you were just, I don't want to.
Yeah. I was just trying to say, like, hey, the trailer is telling you this. The reality is it's more about a really shitty boss than it is about kids being abused. The trailer makes it seem like it's all about kids being abused.
Gotcha. Well, technically they were, you know, they may not have been sexually abused, but they were all abused.
Oh, yeah. You know, no, absolutely.
16 hours, like, parents not on set.
Parents allowing a lot of that to happen because they did. The one parent that was advocating for his kid the most got turned against him by the pedophile.
Wasn't that awful?
Yeah.
That was.
See, I didn't want to say all this stuff because I wanted you to watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, the reality is, I think the trailer's misleading as to what you're going to see. But I still think what we see is terrible. And you know, that he was not a great guy.
Yeah.
You know, like,
and he's tried to apologize since then, and they're terrible apologies. They're self-aggrandizing.
Well, it's like the court documents where they reveal all the people that wrote, you know, cop statements of on behalf of the pedophile.
Yeah.
Including like Joanna Kearns and Alan Thicke and Ryder Strong and Will Friedle and James Marsden and all these people that made all these positive comments about him. You know, and
they get into a bit more of that in the fifth episode. So,
yeah, I'm looking forward to watching the fifth episode. I'm just waiting for Kate to get back from Ocean City so we can watch it.
It's not that great. I will tell you, it's not the greatest thing, but there's some stuff in there that's like, oh, wow, cool.
Well, to be honest, the only reason why I want to watch it is because I watched the other four and I just want to see what they have. Because, again, I'm watching the trailer for episode 5 and I'm like, I believe 20% of this because of how I felt the way they treated the trailer in the original for the original special. I mean, yes, it's terrible, but it's also, they just made it seem like it was going to be so much worse. And I wasn't watching it for, oh, this is going to be terrible. I can't wait. It was along the lines of like, okay, they really oversold this. Yes. It's all terrible, but like,
dude, and we see that all the time, though. That's movies, that's TV shows.
Yes, exactly.
I hate
that. Yeah. But, like, I also had a hard time with with a lot of the talking heads that were in the documentary because these are, like, I don't look at them as investigative journalists. I look at them as the rumor gossiping websites.
Gotcha.
And they're trying to explain to us what happened and what was going on and what this all means. And I really felt like a lot of the time they were just stretching to see what they wanted to see or say. You know what I mean? Like they took a scene or they took a clip and they saw what they wanted to see in it, not what was actually in it. I thought they had people that had really didn't know what the fuck they were talking about way too much on there, as opposed to like people that were there and lived it and experienced it. You know what I mean?
They have a lot of those people. And that was interesting to me. Like, well, Jeanette McCurdy, I would have expected her to be on there.
No, she had no interest in dealing with that or talking about it or anything, you know. And but yes, I thought they were going to have a lot more people that were actually involved, which is another reason why, like, some credibility was gone with me, because like the foot thing, they kept talking about, oh, we have this thing with feet and they show us clips of feet. Well, if you have 1,000 episodes of TV, you're going to get some feet on there once in a while. And I bet you if you went through 1,000 episodes of television over multiple years, you could find 10 or 15 shots of people's feet. You know what I mean? Like that. So stuff like that. Like, I was just like, this is not, none of the talking heads that experienced the show or on the show said anything about that. It's all these investigative people, quote unquote. Like, that was my issues with it. I felt like they really watered it down with like, oh, look how terrible this was. And instead of focusing on the actual what was terrible, like, I would have loved, like, you could do the writers, the women writers that were treated terrible and were forced to split a salary, and like the ice cream thing and everything that they all went through. Mm-hmm. They alone probably had enough material to bury the fuck out of this guy and be on, you know, and fill 4 hours of TV with everything they went through, quite frankly. And I would have found that more interesting than the investigative journalist talking head people.
See, I remember some of the actors talking about the feet stuff as well. Like, I remember them saying, you know, oh my God, it was so weird. Or like the one kid there who was, what was it? He had a superpower that was nose based and he came in and he had big brown dicks on his shoulders.
Yes.
Costume, you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
One thing that I found that was interesting that's not on there, but I thought I'd share it with you because you know him. Somebody did a podcast interview with Mark Summers after this. And he's
there's
a reason, yeah, that he was only in like 11 seconds. And it's because he didn't know that that's what they were doing. He thought they were just talking about Nickelodeon, and then they told him what they were really doing it. And he's like, I don't want to have anything to do with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. I did see something about that. I didn't hear the whole podcast, but I did hear like someone shared like a couple minute video clip of basically him explaining like, yeah, this is why I wasn't in it. Cause they were, the producers were misleading and they told me one thing and then they showed up and they're asking these other questions. And then finally, one of the interviewers told me, oh, this is what we're doing. And he's like, whoa, nope. And then, of course, they already have the footage that they have. And they, as he said, manipulated it to make it seem like, you know, he was talking about things he wasn't. So then this special lost more credibility with me after seeing that.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that kind of an ambush tactic. You know, why not just be straight up front and be like, here's what we're doing.
Yeah, here's what we want to do. This is what we want to talk about. Yeah, I wasn't thoroughly impressed with that at all.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see what you think after you watch the fifth one. Although, like I said, there's not a lot, but...
Yeah.
Other than that... I think for shows, yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm hoping that this week we'll be able to finish up those last two episodes of season two of Resident Alien and then get on Resident 3, season 3.
Yeah, no, that would be great from my point of view. Yeah, Kate and I really aren't watching any shows together other than Cold Case. We're still working our way through that. But we started watching Centennial, and I kind of have Centennial down in my movie section, but it's not a movie. It was a television miniseries event. I think I've talked about this, but have I gone into detail at all?
I don't think so.
Okay. So Centennial was a book that this fellow wrote back in, it came out in 75. In 1974, and it's a James Michener book, and the book is like 1,000-something pages. It's a huge friggin' book, but it starts out in 1795, and it begins telling a story, and in the book, he talks about rocks and shit, so the book goes back further than that, but the miniseries they made out of it is a 12-part miniseries that first aired in October of 78 and it finished in February of 79. And it was presented on consecutive weeks with a little hiatus there in December. But like the first episode is 147 minutes. And the last episode is 147 minutes. And the 10 episodes in between are all 96 plus, around 96 minutes long. So, I mean, like, there's a lot. There's a lot going on. But it tells the story over centuries, essentially, of this one family and then offshoots from that family and as they go through the years. And it's just really good and it's really, really enjoyable. I believe we have watched the first six episodes now. And so like when you sit down to watch an episode and it's 98 minutes long, you're sitting down to watch a movie, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. Cause it's 98 minute long episode or a 97 minute long episode. Like I almost sat down and watched Fallout episode one last night. And then I saw it was 75 minutes. So I was like, yeah, it's longer than I can commit right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you watch any of Fallout yet, by the way?
I just remembered that as you were talking and I went, oh, I got to note that. Yes. Four episodes so far.
Okay. So the miniseries follows the fictional history of a town called Centennial, Colorado from 1795 to 1970. It's one of the longest and most ambitious television projects ever attempted at the time. 21 hours long and 26 hours with commercials at a $25 million budget. There was four directors and a bunch of cinematographers, and there was over 100 speaking parts, that is. And then, like, each episode just tells another chunk of story. And, we've got the first six in. It's really good and enjoyable. And I remember when I read the book, this is the time frame that I really enjoyed reading the book. But then as it went on, and we got into like the 1900s, I really cared about it less and less. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Well, because the story, like, I don't know. I like the prairie land story, if you will, not the 1950s story of the same family and what's going on. You know what I mean?
Sensing a theme here.
What do you mean?
Well, it's right up there with your rewatch of Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, that's all done now. Kate's actually watching Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman right now. I think when she's done that, I've watched a little bit of that with her as well. I think when she's done that, we're going to do a Walton's rewatch.
I'm older than you both.
I know. But we just like saying. It. It's what we like. It's just what we like. Yeah. But no, Centennial is really good. It's on Stars. I only have because my buddy got a couple months free. But if we don't finish this up before his trial expires, I'm going to have to buy a month of Stars.
Uh-oh.
So we can finish it. I know. But yeah, it's real good. We're enjoying it thoroughly.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyways, you go back to TV shows. Fallout, huh?
So have you watched any of it?
No, I was going to watch the first episode last night and I couldn't commit 75 minutes. It was like 45. I 100% would have watched it, but I've heard a lot of positive from people today actually about it.
It's phenomenal. So Julia's never played the games, has no idea about them. I've played all the games. Both of us are enjoying it thoroughly, like really thoroughly. First off, Walton Goggins, this is a role he was born to play. Like this is him being a fuck you badass.
Okay.
As the ghoul. They do not. So you've never played the games. They do not beat you over the head with lore. You kind of learn about it organically. There's no lore dump. There's no exposition. There is just here you are in this world and start living in it. Start dealing with it. For me, who has played the games, I'm right at home. Like I'm pointing stuff out to Julie. I'm like, oh, that's Pip-Boy. Oh, that's a mini nuke. Oh, that's Rataway. You know, stuff like this. And sometimes I'll even go into more detail and say, you know, like, well, what would happen is in the games, blah, 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 this would happen or something like that. And then I always check in and I'm like, am I being an annoying asshole? And she's like, no, I actually like that. So it's good that way. But if you haven't played any of the games, you're still going to enjoy the hell out of it. Like, everybody that is talking about it has said that, you know, I've never played a game, but I'm enjoying the hell out of this. So I definitely recommend it. Each of the episodes is long, but so they simultaneously, they go right into the next one. So it's easy to binge, but at the same time, each one ends at a point where you're like, okay, I could stop right here, which I appreciate. You know, I'm not a big fan of shows where you get to the end of an episode and you're like, crap, now I have to watch the next episode to figure out what's going on, or I can't leave it on this cliffhanger, which is a psychological trick that they use on us because our brains hate an open loop. So that's why Netflix is so popular, because a lot of their shows follow that formula where there is a big cliffhanger at the end of an episode so that you need to watch the next episode. But yeah, you could either just binge right through this and enjoy the hell out of it, or you can stop and be like, okay, I've stopped at this episode. I feel like this was a good story and it was a good place to stop. So it's got pluses there, but the world is great. I really like that they're not just like, there's no narrator telling you, well, this is what happened. You have to piece it together yourself, and you're not losing anything by not knowing the specifics of what year this happened and what year that happened. If you ever want, like, as you're getting into it, we can do an info dump and I'll explain to you some of the stuff, but it's good. One of the main characters I'm not a fan of, and I'm just going to leave it at that, but watch it. Let me know what you think.
It's interesting because I had heard from a couple of people that were like, well, seems like people, if they love the video games, they hate the TV show. And if they never played the video games, they love the TV show. So I was really looking forward to your interpretation.
I'm definitely in the other camp that has played the video games and loves the TV show. I'm finding it fun to watch videos and read articles where people are like, okay, let's look at our main characters and let's try to figure out what they started with. I just saw a headline tonight that said that people are trying to figure out what Lucy, Ella Purnell, what Lucy's experience level would be at the end of season one. Like, they're really gamifying this whole thing. They're like, okay, well, you know, Lucy would have had this and this for perks, and she would have taken this. And, but it is a hell of a lot of fun. I think you're going to love the shit out of it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Cool. Yeah, I can't believe that I forgot about that one. Now I honestly believe that that was all my shows, and I just have two movies.
What do you got for movies?
Two of them that were new to me but are older movies. One I watched on your recommendation, and that was Werewolves Within.
Okay, what'd you think of that?
Thought it was awesome.
Yeah,
although I did have it pegged, you know, 10 minutes in. But I really enjoyed it. It was a fun flick. It was, you know, it's based on a card game, which was then a video game was based on that. But because I was like, Ubisoft, what the hell? And apparently Ubisoft created a video game version of this. But it was a lot of fun. Enjoyed the characters, enjoy the actors a lot. You know, all the actors were pretty cool. But yeah, this was go on Hulu. It's a fun watch. Basically, it's a mountain town where a snowstorm snows them in one night and they believe there is a werewolf or something. And you get to try to figure out who done it. Yeah. Who done it? Why are they dying? So, yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I was a big fan.
Same.
Yeah.
And then the other movie I watched, I had never watched this one, but it's come highly recommended from a lot of people. Julia just reconnected with one of her friends at ARO, and he was like, "Oh, you got to watch this." And I know you've talked about it before, but Train to Busan.
Oh, Train to Busan's a great flick. I haven't watched that in a long time.
Yeah, this was my first time watching it, and it's tense. It's also long. Jesus, it was like, 2.5 hours long?
Yeah.
It's really long, but it was so good. Enjoyed it.
Great flick.
It's a zombie movie, but it's a 28 Days Later style zombie. You know, the fast-running, fast-moving, aggressive zombies. And, I enjoyed the hell out of it. It was sad. It was fun. It was tense. I mean, they're like, I kept thinking they can't go any further. Oh, they just went further. It was kind of like watching a movie version of Resident Evil, but like with no guns, like no chance to fight back against them.
Yeah, they have an animated prequel called Soul Station. And then the other movie that's in it is in the series, if you will, is Train to Busan Presents Peninsula. And I have not watched that yet, and I need to.
Oh.
Yeah.
So is it just like a standalone in that universe?
It's a standalone sequel to the original film, yes.
Okay. I will and say this, we were watching it on Hulu, I think. And wherever we were watching it, we had to turn on subtitles because it was just in Korean and it did not have any English subtitles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to turn those. Yeah, you need those, that's for sure.
Yeah.
The Last Train to New York. It's an English language adaptation of Train to Busan, and it's done. James Wan's a producer on it. It was actually supposed to be released in April of 2023, and it's been delayed, and we just kind of in the ether now. And then there's a sequel, a direct sequel to Peninsula as well, that's in the works.
But, so a sequel to the sequel.
Yeah, sequel to the sequel.
I might check those out because I did really enjoy this.
Yeah, I'm definitely need to check out Peninsula myself. But I think I just need to go back and watch Train to Busan at this point. It's been that long.
It was good. I really did enjoy it. It's always tough with zombie movies, and I say zombie loosely because, you know, sometimes they're these shambling zombies, sometimes they're the aggressive running zombies, and it can be, especially with a foreign zombie movie, it can be a hard sell because, you know, they're all speaking Korean. Yeah. You got to look down at the subtitles. So you're reading while you're watching the action on the screen. I didn't realize when we sat down that it was 2.5 hours. So there's a lot of things that would be like hard sells. You know, it would be hard to sell somebody on this. They'd be like, oh, I don't have time for that. I don't want to read, blah, blah, blah. Definitely glad that we took the plunge.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's a good flick. So I got a whole slew of movies to talk about.
Shocker.
A couple new to me, majority reruns. Okay. I won't deep dive into all of them. Predator, the original Arnold Schwarzenegger Predator flick. I haven't seen it in years.
Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper. Yeah. No, put it down. Fun flick. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's not my favorite movie in the Predator franchise, if you will, but it's a great start. It wasn't when that movie aired, the expectation wasn't that, oh, we're going to have a whole Predator series because, oh, Schwarzenegger was the star of the film. The Predator was just this alien creature that was there, but the Predator became the star of the whole thing. Can't really say a whole lot about Predator 2, but with the Danny Glover one in LA, because that was fucking garbage. But I also rewatched Prey on Hulu. That movie is so fucking good. Such a good movie. So well done. Oh, loved it, loved it, loved it. Watch My Bloody Valentine 1981. It's been an extremely long time since I've watched it. It's still a solid. It's still a solid slasher flick that I don't think gets as much love as Nightmare on Elm Street or Friday the 13th or even Halloween. But it's still a really good flick.
Fair.
Watched Heathers. I figured I haven't seen that in quite a while, and going to see the musical this coming week with my daughter. I was a rewatch Heathers, and that's why I had so much off the top of my head when we talked about it earlier.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a flick that I think if you made it today, would actually be a lot more violent, a lot more nudity, a lot more kind of over the topness than we got for 1989.
Yes.
While still being very over the top in 1989. So,
and, yeah, we were kind of talking about that. I felt that it was quite over the top at that time as well. But looking back on it, there wasn't anything really explicit.
No, no. I mean, like, this is a movie I would watch again, and I would say, oh, you should watch this. Unlike The Exorcist, which when it was done, I was like, I don't ever need to watch that again. That is definitely overinflated, because at the time when it came out, it was groundbreaking, and you never saw anything like that, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. As opposed to, like, this now, which... It, what we get from movies now, like, it makes Exorcist seem very tame.
Yes. I would agree with that.
Like, yeah. I watched Dogma. It's been a very long
time. After we had talked about it.
Yeah, it's been a very long time since I've watched Dogma, and I need to watch it again. That's a great flick. Like, it really is. I gotta watch it with Kate, because I think she would really get a kick out of the religious talk in it. But like, there's some very Tarantino-esque scenes in the discussions when it's Bartleby and Loki together, and they're philosophizing about different things about life and their plan and this and that and everything. And when it's the two of them together, kind of throughout the movie, it's like this is a Tarantino flick. I don't know. We're back to dick and fart jokes. It's definitely a Kevin Smith movie.
But with those moments with Bartleby, Loki, those type of speeches, even when you have like Rufus and God, I'm blanking on her name, on the train, and they're talking about like who Christ was,
what he stood for. Yes.
Having a belief versus Bethany. Yeah. Having a belief versus having an idea.
Yes.
Those were all like, those were some of the pinnacle Kevin Smith stuff that we were in love with him for, you know. It started with Clerks this was peak Kevin Smith, in my opinion.
Well, it's like, even like the Salma Hayek's character Persephone, when she's talking about like, oh, there's a whole chunk of the Bible missing because they told Jesus who he was and he had to deal with that. And it took him 20 years to deal with it.
Yeah.
You know? And the same thing about Mary. It's like, yeah, Mary gave birth to Jesus, having never been, you know, felt the touch of a man. But do you really think after that she never had sex with Joseph her whole rest of her life? You know, like stuff like that. It's like, oh yeah, I didn't really think about that, but that does kind of make sense. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. It's a really, really good flick, and it's hard to watch today because it's not streaming anywhere. The DVD and the Blu-ray are both out of print because of the rights issues with it.
Yep. Weinstein owns it.
Yeah, but you never know.
I remember I was working at the video store at the time that came out, and I like would take coworkers. I'd be like, come with me to this movie. You got to come see this. I must have seen it like 5 times in the theater. It was so good.
I remember when it came out at home video when I was working at the video store, and I would recommend it to everybody. And it's like, oh, what do you recommend? Oh, you should watch Dogma. It's a phenomenal flick, whatever. And I remember Matt being like, did you just tell her, did you just rent her Dogma? I go, yeah. Like, she goes to my church. I'm like, well, might be an interesting discussion out of this. And then she came back like a couple days later, whenever it was. And she's like, do you know how many times they say fuck in this movie? Well, she said the F word. I go, no, 96. Goes, we counted the second time we watched it. What else has this guy done? I was like, oh, you got to check out Mallrats and Chasing Amy and Clerks. And so they went and rented the rest of the remainder of his catalog at that time and everything. But I just thought it was so hilarious. Like, Matt was so worried about, she goes to my church. I can't believe you recommended that. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a hit. And it deserves to be seen by more people. And it's really too bad that it's so hard to come by nowadays.
I still love like the I think there's a documentary on the special features on the, in the DVD if you have the special edition, which I do. And I know he's talked about one of his evenings with Kevin Smith's, where he's like, they went because they people were protesting the movie and they never even seen it, and they're protesting it. These are religious groups, so they went to go protest one night, you know, protest with them, and they made a sign that said like dogma's dog shit. And they put sparklies and everything on it. And they're like, yeah, you can't have that sign. That's too negative. Like you can't, but it is, have you seen it? It's a terrible movie. And none of them had seen the movie. I'm like, wait a second. You're out here protesting a movie you've never even seen.
Right.
Yeah. I just thought that was all really great. I watched It chapters 1 and chapter 2, you know, the remake there.
Yep.
I got to say, Chapter 1 is brilliant. It's a really well-done movie. It's scary. The characters are great. I mean, it's very enjoyable to watch. And then you have It Chapter 2, which has the same writers, same director, same everything. And it is just not a good movie to watch.
It's a lot harder when they have the kids and the adults.
Yeah, we're getting adults a lot of...
less like enjoyable. They were less relatable. Yes. And I didn't like them,
and it was too much humor and not appropriate, like Eddie getting stabbed in the cheek by Henry's knife, and then he stabs Henry in the chest, and then he steps out of the shower, blood's pouring out of his face, he's like, can't believe you still have a fucking mullet after 30 years, like as he's storming off, or like stupid shit like that. It's like, what? Like, I realized, like, but just too much. Like, we're all adults now. We're 40. The 12-year-old humor needs to go because you're 40. And also the humor just didn't fit with the flow of the movie in the second one. The second one's really not very good at all. Like, I'll rewatch the fuck out of the first one and just call it a day.
Yeah. It correct me if I'm wrong. It's been a few years since I watched the second one, but didn't we also have that whole, like, they win by doing the Care Bear stare?
Yes, they win because they tell him you're mean and you're terrible, but you're just a faker. Yes, they basically, yes. And they scare him and make him shrink from the giant spider creature he is to like a little tiny, like just head on a rock, and they rip his heart out and stomp on it and stuff like that. It's just not. Yeah. Just not a great flick, that's for sure.
No, it was not.
Yeah. Then I watched 2 new to me movies. I'll start with Night Swim.
See, I was going to wait for you on that one because I was never sold watching the trailer. And I was like, if he says that it's phenomenal, then maybe I will. But
it's the Amityville Horror, but instead of a haunted house, it's a haunted pool. It's legit a haunted pool.
Yeah, pass.
It's just not. And then I watched Driveaway Dolls.
How is that one?
All right. So here's the thing. Like, and I'll just be a little spoilerly without being too spoilerly. I can't decide if I like it or not.
Okay.
There is. From watching the trailer, if you remember the trailer, what is it you think it's about?
I don't even remember the trailer. I just remember watching the trailer going, huh, I think I'll check that out.
So the trailer is, there's these two girls or women, whatever, they're girls, they're legal age or whatever. And they're leaving Pennsylvania, Philadelphia area, and they've decided they're going to travel south, and they get set up to, from this agency base, it's 1999 in the movie, I believe. They get set up from this agency to basically to go from Philadelphia to Tallahassee, Florida, because that's where this one girl's aunt lives, or grandmother, or whatever. And so they go into this place where, like, they need cars delivered. So they get, they take the car to Florida, and they pay very little to use the car, but they're bringing it down there to drop it off. So they're getting transportation down without having to deal with it when they get down there, I guess.
Okay.
What's not in the trailer is that there is a tremendous amount of lesbianism in the movie, which is fine. But like, the two main characters are lesbians, not with each other.
Okay.
And there's just lots of girls making out and lots of girls having sex throughout the movie, which again is fine. I just didn't anticipate that when I sat down to watch the movie.
Okay.
And it's kind of a cross between a road trip and a coming of age story and kind of a crime story. And then like the actual like crime where there's murder and this and that, like the way they resolve that is kind of like, what? So there's a lot of endearing qualities about the movie, while at the same time, there's a lot of bullshit. And it's an Ethan Coen directed flick. I guess Joel decided he doesn't want to do movies anymore, at least not right now. And so they've kind of, so this is the first time Ethan's directed a movie on his own.
Okay.
I
was going to say, yeah. Usually you'd hear Coen brothers, not
right.
Or exactly. Joel and Ethan Coen.
Yeah. So I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm going to say that I didn't anticipate the majority of the storyline. And then, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I may have to watch it again to actually form an opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, it just, like, maybe it's just, this is, it is what it is type movie. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I can't commit.
No, like I said, I remember seeing the trailer and thinking maybe I'll check that out. And then I didn't even remember the trailer enough to say, this is why, because I said to Julie, I was like, yeah, there's a movie Driveway Dolls that I kind of want to check out. She goes, oh, what's it about? I said, I don't remember.
I just remember I want to watch it. Damn it.
Or I remembered that, yeah. It piqued my interest. And
sure.
you're not really selling me on it.
Yeah, and I can't. I just can't. Again, I don't. Yeah, I just can't sell. I can't sell.
Okay. I will accept that.
All right. Movies and trailers. How far back do we need to go?
If you go back to where you announced that John Scott Merriman was coming to Portland.
Oh, shit. That's a long ways.
April 2nd.
There we go. Boom. Boom. Yeah. John Barrowman's coming to Maine. Yeah. Because Mr. Feeney can't because he's 97. And two trips to the East Coast is just too much for the old fella. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
What was the other trip to the East Coast for him?
He just did another convention like last week or something.
Oh, okay.
And it's just the two conventions back to back like that would have been just too much for him.
Okay. Let's see. Do-do-do.
You sent Daredevil Born Again photo offers sneak peek of John Bernthal's Punisher.
Yep.
I didn't look at it because I don't want to get spoiled. Reading the headline is enough for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nothing major. It's just a behind-the-scenes photo, and it's like, great, there's John Barenthal.
Yeah, and that is enough for me. I do not need to know more than that. Kevin Smith, the 4:30 movie, gets a theatrical release.
Sounds like an interesting concept. He basically bought a theater, which we knew that. Call it like the Smod Castle Theater now or something. And so immediately he wanted to make this movie. And it's supposed to be a coming of age kind of thing about kids that sneak into a movie theater. And takes place in the 80s or the 90s or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and it's what he used to do. That's the thing.
Yeah, and it's, correct me if I'm wrong, it's his first movie after getting off the weed and getting straightened out. And yeah. Yeah. It's not one of his.
Yes, it is. Yes.
So I'll probably check it out when it comes to home video. I don't think I'm going to go to the theaters for it.
Yeah. I'll probably wait for home video myself on this one.
Benedict Cumberbatch and Olivia Colman are going to be starring in a remake of The War of the Roses.
Okay, sure. What the hell? I'll watch it.
Fuck yeah. I love both of them.
Yeah, I will watch that, no doubt.
I was shocked to see this next part.
Velma season 2 release date. I didn't even know we were getting a season 2.
I thought that it was canceled faster than it came out. I didn't realize that we were getting a second season.
I'll watch it because I did enjoy the first one.
I've still got to go back and watch the first one.
Yeah. It's very graphic and adult.
Yeah.
Dead Boy Detectives. You wrote, the show takes place in the Sandman universe, including the same person playing Death in both.
Yes. So Neil Gaiman's Sandman. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the trailer looked really good.
It does look really good, even by itself. Yeah. It just looks like a cool concept. You know, it's these two kids who, from what I can tell in the trailer, they're dead, but they've been cheating death for a while. So they should have been dead a long time ago. And they help ghosts solve their unsolved cases, you know.
Which is a cool story, which is a cool concept, I mean.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. neckbeard fanboys are up in arms over Julie Garner being cast as the Silver Surfer in the Fantastic Four movie.
I don't give a shit.
Oh, they're pissed. How dare you make it a woman? There has been a woman Silver Surfer.
Yes.
Also, fuck off. Like,
yeah. Yeah. Like, sincerely, fuck off.
Yeah. No, not going to have it happen.
Let's see here.
Hasbro announced the Transformers 40th anniversary. Oh, the TikTok.
Yeah, that's cool. Either way, I don't need to click on it. The 40th anniversary theater event, them airing episodes 1 through 4.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
That is pretty cool. I don't know if we're getting it around here, but that'd be pretty fun to watch.
The TikTok was Billy Corgan on a roller coaster.
Whee! Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
And in the world of who the fuck asked for this, Adam Sandler confirmed that he's working on a second Happy Gilmore movie. After like a week or two ago, Shooter McGavin was like, oh yeah, it's being worked on. Why?
Yeah, I don't. This is not a movie I need.
No. The first one was great.
No sequel necessary.
Nope. What one of these fun.
Toy Story 5? What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was happening.
I didn't either. Why do we need one? They should have stopped at 3. Like, there was no need to, even 3 was a bit of a stretch, but.
Yeah.
But Mandalorian and Grogu, hey, they set a release date. It's 2026, but hey, you know, that's only 2 years from now.
That's annoying. That's too far.
Worst news of the week for me personally was Quantum Leap getting canceled.
Like, that pisses me off, quite frankly, because we didn't even get, like, the finalization of who's in the imaging chamber?
Right.
What are the adventures that they're going to have together as both leaping? How long is that going to last?
Yeah. Do they start leaping separately, or do they always end up in the same area? I'm hoping somebody else picks it up, because that does happen these days. It's not guaranteed, but I would love to see somebody pick it up, because this was a very strong show. I really enjoyed this. So...
It was a very well done show.
Yep. And it really honored the original without pandering. Continued where it left off. I fucking loved it. So.
I mean, quite frankly, they did end it sort of well, as far as like we got all that storyline got wrapped up and resolved that we had going on. And now they're both leaping. And so it's like, okay, they're going to leap together and be happily ever after. Like that's what you could say that now, even if it wasn't true, because the way they ended it implies, oh, they're going to leap together and be happy ever after. Perfect.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's still, I want to know who's in the imaging chamber. I want to know more.
Yes, I concur. And I really hope that we get more, but if we don't, maybe we'll get sometimes shows like this, they'll do like interviews with the director later on or some of the writers. And they're like, well, this is where we were going to go. I would be happy with that if we're not going to get, you know, somebody else picking.
Yes, I would be very happy with that as well.
Just tell us like what the roadmap looked like. What were we going to be in for, and how did the story end? Or at least this next season, you know, just fucking kill us.
Fly Me to the Moon. That looks pretty good, huh?
It does look pretty good. They basically bring in an ad exec person, somebody who's a marketer, to help them sell NASA because, you know, they're not a very popular. And then they come to fake the moon landing, you know, create a.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, oh, we got to fake it just in case it doesn't work out. And she's like, no, we can't do that. You'll completely destroy the trust of the people. Say you make this and then you never release it, but if it ever leaks.
Yes.
Maxine trailer. I don't know. Like, I'm going to watch it because I've watched the other two. I think it definitely looks better than the other flicks. Mm-hmm. But we'll just have to see on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. This is not surprising. I know people get all like up in arms. They're like, oh my God, the Fallout show hasn't even premiered yet. They haven't had the first episode air and they've already renewed them for season two. Again, we've talked about that here on the podcast. It only makes financial sense. You know, this is 8 episodes. So shoot 16 episodes, put the first season out, see what kind of hype you get, see what kind of reactions you get, and promise a second season. It'll bring in more people. They basically made a 16 episode first season and split it up. And we're like, surprise, we're giving you a second season. You're not really.
Right. What the fuck is wrong with Zack Snyder? Does he have brain damage? Do we need an extended director's cut of Sucker Punch?
No.
Or every other fucking movie he's ever made?
I don't know why he's doing this. And also, I don't know why he thinks that he's special in, you know, believing that his movies need a 4-hour cut. Does he not believe in an editing room? Maybe if he stopped doing slow-mo for everything, the length of his movies would be shorter and he wouldn't need. You know, we're going to have to watch that one. The second Rebel.
He's just becoming such a pretentious fucking prick.
Yeah, he always kind of was. I mean, you look back on like Sucker Punch and 300 and you're like, at the time, they were very stylistic and they were very woo. But he was kind of a dick about it. He was kind of a pretentious, like, you know, I'm doing something original. I'm doing something amazing. I look back on the 300 and realize how much slow-mo was in that as well. Like, it was insane when you think back on it. They even had slow-mo of the – think about, like, one of the opening scenes is the guy running his hand through grain. And then we have Rebel Moon where she's – planting the seed in the field, you know, slow-mo dropping the seed.
Well, in the 300, it's so full of slow-mo everything.
Yeah.
Like, constant. Like, the big fight, the big scene where he's going to haul off and kick the guy in the chest. Like,
Or when you've got the whole phalanx and the one guy jumps over the top with the spear drawn, he's like,
Yeah. Joker Part 2 trailer came out. Cool, I guess. I don't know.
The Joker fanboys out there who kind of made this their whole personality and they were like, oh my God, this is amazing. It's so good. This speaks to me. I wonder how mad they are that it was just announced in this that he's bisexual.
There's probably going to be a lot of offended people out there.
They're probably going to say that it's, you know, just liberal agenda or something like that, but I just thought that it was kind of a neat little asterisk. I don't care. I'm not going to watch the movie. I watched the first Joker. I hated it for multiple reasons. Apparently, you and I were in the minority because so many people liked it. But
I'm not surprised. We were in the minority for Batman vs Superman: Dawn of Justice too.
Yep.
So you sent me Heels canceled. Heels, which was canceled on Stars, may move to Netflix.
Yep.
And I have yet to watch Heels, and it's not on Stars now that I have Stars. So when it moves to Netflix, I'll probably check it out.
You'll have to let me know if it's good or not.
Yep. Margot Robbie's going to produce a Monopoly movie. My knee-jerk is like, why? Who gives a fuck? Like, this is stupid. Barbie and at was the same really time, good, so...
yeah, at the same time, she's also... It's her production company, but they're also doing a movie based on The Sims. the computer game there, which that'll be interesting. I'm wondering if they'll actually have them speak regular English or the Simlish, which is similar to English, but complete gibberish. Monopoly could be interesting. I'm wondering if they're going to go with the take on it, if they're going to have it be based on the board game and like play out like a board game, or if they're going to do like with Barbie and kind of subvert expectations and talk about how, you know, the whole story of the original version of Monopoly was created by a woman to show that capitalism was terrible and nobody ever wins until, you know, the boys came down and bought the patent from her. They tried to buy it. She was like, no, I don't want to have that happen. And they ended up getting it, I think, when she died. I think that's how it went.
Okay.
New Blair Witch Project movie on the way from Blumhouse.
Hey, if they make it a low-budget flick, it'll be great, I think.
Yeah. They'll never recapture the magic of the original. Like, the original
one... No, they won't.
It had the magic because people really believed it.
Yes, they thought they were going to see an actual found footage, not a movie that was scripted together.
This was an interesting one. We got a... interview with Russell T. Davies, who was talking about characters on upcoming things, and he was talking about Jinx Monsoon. This is on Doctor Who. Jinx Monsoon playing a character called the Maestro. A lot of people are like, well, Maestro is just another name for Master, so is Jinx playing the next iteration of the Master? Who knows? Guess we'll find out. I'm excited, though. I've also been seeing that Season 2 is going to have two different companions. Now, I thought Ruby Sunday was gone. I thought they said after Season 1 she was gone. And we were getting a new companion. But now I'm seeing that he's going to have two companions, including Ruby Sunday. So maybe she leaves partway through Season 2?
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe she does leave partway through Season 2. I thought she was done after Season 1, too. Season 1 as well.
I'm so mad.
Why? But the Heroes reboot?
They're rebooting it again. I got so excited when they did the original reboot. Because you had Heroes, which Season 1, I still love. I need to go back and rewatch Season 1. Season 2 started going bad. Didn't like it. Didn't like the way that they changed things up. It just felt terrible. And then I don't even think that I watched Season 3. Then they did this, you know, Heroes Reborn. And I got all excited again. I was like, yes, they're going to do it right this time. They're going back to basics. And I hated it. It was terrible. I wanted to love it. I hated it. So now we've got Heroes Eclipsed. It's set years after the OG series, and it's by the original creators. I'm mad because I want to be excited about this. I want to be happy, and I'm not going to be because they're going to mess it up again.
I know when they did the reboot again, I was really excited and then it kind of fell flat. And that's kind of how I feel when I watch this as well. It's like, I want to be excited about it because that first run I thought was so good. But yeah, I don't have the faith.
No.
A live action R-rated adaptation of The Last Ronin, Teenage Mutant Turtles. I'll watch it.
Yeah. I'll check it out. There was a lot of stuff that was announced at CinemaCon, but a lot of it was behind closed doors, and we'd get like news feeds of it, but they had footage. Like, they had new footage of Deadpool 3. They had footage of a bunch of different things, but we don't get to see that footage because we weren't at CinemaCon.
Did you know about this Warren Beatty, Dick Tracy thing?
I did not. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, so evidently the movie panned, and then they tried to do a sequel without him. They tried to do a TV series without him. So he's kind of pissed off. So he still owns the rights to the characters. And as long as he continues to utilize them, he automatically gets renewal rights. So he's been renewing this and doing little short movies on Turner Classic Movies once a year or once every couple of years, just so he can say put out a feature and renew the character rights without having to go through any huge process.
But you can't even really call them sequels.
No, they're not. They're not sequels. But still, he's in his costume and he's Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
It's like when they made the Fantastic Four movie, like the Roger Corman Fantastic Four movie that never got released, you know?
Yep.
Same thing. Yeah, well, we made a movie, so we got the rights still.
That's right.
Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover movie being planned. I thought this was teased a couple years ago.
I thought so, too. Like, I read that, and I was like, great.
But. Yeah, at the end of the last Transformers movie, they teased the G.I. Joe crossover at the end.
Yeah.
So... Strange New World got renewed for another season.
I'm excited about that.
And we're getting one more season of Lower Decks. Season 4 will be the final season.
Yep. Which, that seems like it's ready to be done.
Yeah. This Disney Plus special, Jim Henson Idea Man, coming out the end of May. Absolutely.
Yeah, you're all over that. I'll watch that.
I will be. Yep, absolutely will be all over that. So, and the last thing was you sent today, Keanu Reeves joins Sonic 3 as Shadow.
Yeah, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
I can get behind that.
I like me some Keanu.
Fuck yeah.
Some Keanu Reeves. But that's all the news I have. Did you have anything else that popped up since then?
No. Nothing else has popped up that I've seen.
There's actually two movies coming to the theaters this weekend I'd like to go see.
Me too. Let me guess. Abigail and the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Yes! I would like to go see both of those.
Yeah. If I wasn't going to be moving both days, I would be there this weekend. Unfortunately, I'm probably going to have to wait till the next weekend because, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I want to see both of those flicks.
Yeah. They're going to be fucking
someday
awesome.
I'd like to go one of those Monday movie mystery movies.
They always seem to be really good.
You know, but knowing my luck, I'd go and be something shitty. That tends to be my luck with mystery stuff.
Yeah.
But that's it for me. I don't have really much else to share.
I don't either.
I'm on social medias. I'm Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's our show, I guess.
And we'll talk to you next week, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly next week.